Take a break from your busy schedule and join Bonnie Sala, our guest host, for Guidelines for Living.
As a boy growing up in a communist country, William sang about the grace of God. But it wasn't until the cold reality of solitary confinement in prison sank in that William began to understand what grace really means. William's mother was an American missionary who married a local medical doctor, and they worked together raising their family to know and follow God. But when the government tried to eliminate Christianity from the country, William's mother and father were sent to prison, where his father died mysteriously in what prison officials called a work-related accident. William and his sisters were considered guilty by association and sent to prison for the crime of being followers of Jesus Christ, who would not renounce their faith in him. For that, William was confined to total darkness for a period of 9 months. How do people like William cope, you may wonder? Are they just stronger than the rest of us? Or is there some sort of special help and support for God's children, which gives hope and sustains in their darkest hour? The answer is yes, there is. And for 2,000 years, God's children have called it the grace of God. After he was released from prison, William wrote to a friend and said, "What I miss more than all else are the intense, quiet moments with Christ that I have not known since the anguish of the days while I was in solitary confinement." Richard Wurmbrand would have agreed. "I have found," he wrote, "truly jubilant Christians only in the Bible, in the underground church, and in prison." Imprisoned himself in communist Romania for 14 years, Wurmbrand became an advocate for the persecuted church until his death in 2001. There's a facet of God's care and concern that we experience in times of pain and loss, which we can never have apart from times of testing. It is the comfort of God's Spirit that lets us sense the warmth of God's care and concern. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And when he said that, he was not merely passing out verbal bouquets as meaningless sayings. He was saying there is help for our hurt, relief for our pain, and hope for our despair. That is a facet of this wonderful thing called the grace of God. But there's something else which needs to be explained, which makes the grace of God even more remarkable. Grace isn't something which is given out in response to our moral goodness, as though God instructs an angel to keep track of our good deeds, and when we hit a certain level, God rewards us like we've won a prize. That is the difference between rewards, which are due on the basis of merit, and the grace of God, which is given to anyone who will seek God with all his heart. Long ago, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Still true? Yes. God hasn't changed, and grace is still there, free, undeserved, and completely sufficient. Have you ever tasted of the grace of God? When trouble knocks at your door, you've got to be willing to trust Him to provide the grace that He freely offers. When you get to the end of yourself, the point of desperation, you're ready to experience this wonderful help called grace. Sometimes the best thing in our lives happen because God allowed a bad thing, which resulted in a very, very good thing, as we tasted richly of the grace of God. Then we learn what God told Paul long ago, "My grace is sufficient." That grace is still available to you today.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.